The Clare Byrne Show on News Talk
with Aviva Insurance.
News that grieving families are increasingly having to delay burying relatives because of holdups in carrying out postmortems in multiple counties. Incoming President of the Coroner's Society of Ireland and Coroner for the District of Donegal, Dr. Dennis McCauley, is with me now. Good morning, Dennis.
Good morning, Claire. How are you?
Very well. Can you tell me here what's going on with postmortems? Because I think anecdotally a lot of people listening to this will have experience of this in their families or in their communities where this is increasingly an issue.
I think you have to stand back and understand how the process operates. Postmortems are done in HSE mortuaries by consultants, and they are paid. It's in a fee per item basis. That fee is paid paradoxically by the local authority, but it's all directed by the Department of Justice. Now, the problem is that histopathologists are very busy at the present minute. They have to do all their other work, such as cancer diagnosis and so forth. Occasionally, when they do a postmortem, they're called to court, and they find it very stressful because of the adversarial way that some of the coroner's courts are run. And finally, the fee that they're paid hasn't changed for the last 20 years. This is something we've been highlighting for maybe 20 years. I was expecting there are three different types of postmortems. There's adult postmortems, and there's postmortems on children over 3 months, and then there are postmortems performed on babies who are born through stillbirth or in the first 3 months. And each of these are under severe pressure. I was expecting the children's issue to be a problem first, because there are only two pathologists in Ireland doing postmortems on children over 3 months. And if one of those retires, I don't know if the system will actually survive. And we've been highlighting this for 10 years. Recently, there's been an issue in Waterford where the consultant pathologists have felt that they cannot continue with their service. And we also have a situation where children who are babies under 3 months who die in Dublin are being transported needlessly to Cork to have their postmortems done. So,
which is distressing, isn't it, for the families?
It is dreadful, and I'm slightly embarrassed being on air having to highlight this. But it's something that it was a very good article by Eilish O'Regan today in the Independent about it, and I'm happy to talk about it. But I do realise that I'm a coroner. This is always a very emotive issue, but this is a problem. I think because there's three agencies involved, it's a perfect storm for procrastination. The HSE is saying it's not our problem. Department of Justice is saying it's not our problem. And when in fact it is very clear what the HSE needs the coroner service to organise the postmortems, because if they don't happen, then the cause of death won't be found in a hospital. Public health issues will not be fully investigated. So the HSE need the service, so they facilitate the service. But ultimately, it's the Department of Justice that have ultimate responsibility for this. And we've been, unfortunately, highlighting this for a decade at least.
It sounds to me, having listened to what you've said there, that what is needed, and tell me if you agree, is consultant pathologists dealing only with postmortems. That is their job.
Well, I think what needs to happen is that they have to be given time and they have to be resourced. I think if you look at a perinatal postmortem, it unfortunately that can happen. It takes place over 2 days. Then the histopathologist then does about 200 further tests. And to be honest, the fee that they're paid for it is 20 years old. And then they're quite commonly called to court. So I think they just have to look at the fee. There are 6,000 postmortems done in Ireland every year. The histopathologist is paid €300 for that. So that's €2 million for the service. And I think, I honestly, Claire, I think you know I'm ex-president of the Irish Medical Organization. Yeah. I don't like talking about things such as this, you know, on air. But I think you have to realise that the pathologist saying, I'm really busy. Do I really want to take responsibility for this for this fee, be called to court, being grilled constantly? No, and I have more, in their view, I have the work for the living to be doing. So therefore, I would rather not do this. And it is an optional thing. The service presently has been been run by a number of consultants who are doing it almost out of duty than anything else. I always contrast. I have a fantastic service in Donegal. If somebody dies today and they need a post-mortem, that will be done tomorrow morning. The body will be released at lunchtime. And that's a service that complements the sort of the way that we deal with death in Ireland. But if you die in Dublin, you could wait a week for your post-mortem.
Right.
And that is something which is, I don't think, appropriate. I think that when it comes to children, which is really emotive, babies, which is really emotive, that this is on a shoestring at the present minute. It is just the good graces of the two pathologists, John O'Neill and Michael McDermott in Crumlin, giving the service that they give. It's such an empathetic service to the relatives. But when John or Michael retire, I don't see the other person continuing with that service.
So
and then what happens?
Yeah, it's a fees issue then. That's what you have.
I don't know. I think it's a fee. The fee is very important, but it's the whole issue of the histopathologist. If the fee was there, the histopathologist would do it. Time would be given to them. They would employ another pathologist so that that service could be given. But I think when the fee hasn't moved in 20 years, I think that's the first protocol, which I think would, in the immediate term, would sort the situation out. At the present minute, it costs 2 million euros. The state pays 2 million euros per year for the 6,000 mm-hmm. postmortems. Now, I don't like talking about money, but it's just, as a coroner, This is a problem that we have been highlighting for a long time. The stock answers you get will be, oh, it's the Coroner Reform Bill, we'll look after this. It won't. It's nothing to do with the Coroner Reform Bill. The stock answer is that there has been an advisory committee that was set up about 4 years ago. And most of the time that was talking about each agency saying it wasn't their problem. Yeah. And it went into abeyance and only started again once the situation in Waterford began. So, no, the stock answer is the Department of Justice, they need to speak to the representative bodies of the doctors about how they can encourage pathologists to actually do it, because it is the service I have in Donegal is good. Other countries, other parts, you speak to John Goth, the coroner for Waterford, and the problems they're having now that histopathologists are flying in from the UK to do the postmortems once a week, and that's a service that is on a wing and a prayer, and
that's not sustainable.
That's not what we deserve in Ireland.
Okay, now I want to move on and ask you about another story which was highlighted today. This is an organisation called Deep End Ireland, which is a group of GPs working in some of the most disadvantaged communities across the country. And Dr. Breed Shanahan is one of them. And she said, this is just so terrifying. Younger patients in deprived city areas have illnesses more common in people in their 80s. Mm-hmm. And these people have fewer GPs and fewer access to GPs than people who are living in more affluent areas. Are you surprised to hear that?
No, the thing is, there is always that situation. It's the inverse care law that people in deprived areas will have greater health needs. Their health belief model. Now, I'm talking as a retired GP now. I retired on Christmas Eve. But the thing is that the in deprived areas there aren't enough GPs. And really, we have to encourage GPs to set up in these deprived areas. Now, the Irish Medical Organisation, through the 2019 agreement, we have got more resources into general practice. But unfortunately, there is no incentive for a young GP to set up a practice anywhere in Ireland, particularly in a disadvantaged area. And really, there has to be good, sensible, practical lateral thinking in relation to this. There have to be capital allowances given to GPs to set up in these areas. There have to be the rural practice and the deprivation grants have to be looked at, and they have to be real about it. We've been talking previously when I was a member of the Irish Medical Organisation and a practicing GP, Ray Wally particularly was very involved in this, trying to specifically recognise that people in deprived areas have more health issues, so therefore we should be concentrating issues there. So there should be encouragements for young GPs to start up there by allowing them to have buildings, capital allowances. There has to be special grants put actually
and
towards
Dennis,
that. But
can I ask you?
Sorry,
I think that a lot of GPs now who are starting out are not setting up on their own anywhere. That a lot of them are going into a sort of a corporate type system where they're working under an umbrella organisation. That's been a big shift, hasn't it, in recent years?
Oh, Claire, do be saying that. I think that would be my nemesis to say that. I think that an awful lot of general practices are setting up in group practices.
Yeah.
The corporate model has started in Ireland, but I think it's a model that I am not comfortable with. But the vast majority of GPs setting up now in all over the country are generally just going to group practices where there have been a number of GPs, one is retiring, and that's the model. There is no encouragement for a young GP to start, or a group of GPs to start up a practice, because of the first 2 years, because of the way the actual GMS system is, the funding model is such that they will not have any money to pay themselves or their staff for the first 2 years, really.
Makes no sense.
Because they'll have to build up their actual practice. So that has to be recognised, and therefore it has to be that in these deprived areas, you have to say, right, we're going to build a practice with that four or five GPs can come. We're going to encourage them to come, to know that this is going to be hard for the next 4 or 5 years, and we're going to concentrate on areas such as Deepa have highlighted, because these are the areas where people with the greatest need get the least
yes.
service, and an epidemiological statistical fact for many, many years. And I think it's now, particularly with the 2019 agreement, where the chronic disease management system is now being developed in general practice, having that system applied in a deprivation area would have a magnificent effect on that fact.
All right. Well, Dennis, it's good to talk to you. Despite the fact that you say you're retired from general practice, it's good to get your take on these things. That's Dr. Dennis McCauley.
The Claire Byrne Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekday mornings at 9 on News Talk. Conversation that counts.